Dude, what's your highest score on Tiny Wing? What's your highest score on Tiny Wing? Highest score on Tiny Wing. That's awesome.
Hello, everybody.
He's a podcast.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 75 of the podcast.
Whoa.
75.
Feeling
alive.
Going for a drive.
It's no 2011 feeling a blow.
Beehive.
I don't know if they get that reference.
Yeah, no one knows what that is.
That's okay. Just my made-up word.
No one gets it.
By the way, Oxford English Dictionary, Lauren coined the word ablevin.
So get to that right after boner.
I'm actually at the far end of the room today, so I'm going to sound off. Hey, it's Tins.
Hey, it's Cloud.
It's Lauren.
It's Scott.
It's Mick.
Mark.
Gustavi.
LP.
Chris.
Brian.
Keith.
And before we do anything today over at Octavarius Studios, let's quickly throw it over to our sponsor, Chris.
That's right. We have a sponsor today. It is none other than Uncle Fun, the preferred goofy gift shop of Octavarius. Located on 1338 West Belmont Avenue, just down from Comedy Sports, Uncle Fun is a unique purveyor of fine goods and accessories designed to restore the whimsical nature with which you arrived on the planet. Your staff is awesome, and there are tons of fun, unique gems you can purchase at very little cost. That's Uncle Fun, located near Belmont and Southport. You can seriously go there with, like, $2 and get, like, a ton of cool things and be set for the day.
Yesterday, I realized that we have several dozen tiny plastic babies in tiny plastic carriages.
That's right.
Yes. A lot of those, man.
I just got a hologram ring, and then it looks like people are doing a kick line.
The first thing I ever got from them was a weird ass letter. It was just a mystery letter. It was just a bunch of nonsense that you mailed to someone.
Yeah, because I mailed it to you.
And
yeah.
I came, that's right, Brian did mail it to me. So the first time I went to Uncle Fun, I wanted to buy a mystery letter, and they didn't have any, so the guy wrote one for me. He just,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're super creative and they're fun people, and if you like us, you're going to like them a lot.
Yeah, promise. That being said, oh shit, you know what?
Tins?
Here's the thing. We're actually over at Arkham Studios today. And not Mansion Studios as usual, so I forgot.
So hard to
bring
you
mail
so
back.
Studios.
You remember every other time. I know. I'm usually real good about it, but I
thought we remembered it last week.
I'm
like,
sorry. Well, Keith, we can go ahead and turn off the podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
What? No!
Let's watch Air Force One.
Wait, Tins, you left it in my pocket, and then I accidentally brought it.
Oh, happy accident, everybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait!
So, hold on, let me just open this letter.
Longest
way to open
He's
that
winning
letter.
Right now.
Thanks
Thank you, Jan Clement.
Thanks to Jan Clement for the 10 flarp cushion
letters.
This letter comes to us from one J. Christ. He says, "Hey, you guys. A lot of times people go to church, and I think church is really important. Even if you're not big on religion, church is sometimes an important cultural and community center. And the other religions have stuff that's like churches, but for the sake of this podcast, you might as well just call them all churches." What's up with that?
Mark, may I reveal something to you?
Yes.
While you were out of the room, we were taking bets on what the structure and content of today's letter was going to be. What score do you think I got on my letter prediction?
I'm going to give you a 10.
Out of
10.
You don't know. You were there.
To those who heard the prediction.
I'd say you got it about 80%.
No, I'd say like 6. Like 50%.
50%.
He said, because he did mention churches.
Yeah.
He didn't mention the churches had people in them like you did. And he said, and another thing instead of and also. But he did say stuff in the letter.
Okay. When I was a little kid, I had a thing that I thought was a fact about churches, but I just made it up. just based on my experience. Because in church, I grew up Catholic. So it's a really kind of rigid ceremony. You come there, You know, you stand when they tell you to stand, you sit when they tell you to sit, you kneel when they tell you to kneel, you sing everything monotonously. You know, it's very rigid, but I somehow convinced myself that nobody's ever died in a church.
Oh, no.
As a little kid, I just believed that. I just believed that if you were in a church, God was just looking out for you because you were in his house and you wouldn't die. So that's what I believed. I guess, you know.
When did you stop believing that?
When you saw someone die in a church.
I think when I asked my mom.
You speak like you've seen someone in a church. Is that true?
No, thankfully it's not.
Oh, good.
Pass the pew.
I was telling her.
Pass the pew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was telling my mom. I was like, acting like it was a fact. I'm just like, oh, that's right, because people can't die in churches. And she's like, what are you talking about? They do all the time. I'm like, oh.
All the time?
All the time.
Pass the cologne.
Well, there's a lot of cool people in churches. Did anyone have a fun church that they went to when they
no.
were
young?
No.
Okay, you guys
It wasn't super strict. It was like a very modernized version of like a very Catholic strict
yeah.
church. I
didn't the pastor get in trouble for welcoming homosexuals?
He
to
did.
The church?
He did, which is actually one of the reasons why I am not religious, but I don't actually have a problem with that church at all, because it's very contemporary, very modern.
Yeah.
They welcome homosexuals into the church, which is weird because it's
good.
It's good. It's good. It's just it's.
I think it's bad.
Well,
kidding.
And Willow Creek is also another like non-denominational, really modern church.
Yeah.
In the suburbs, and they have like rock bands come in.
Crazy,
yeah.
But
it's
they
barely a church.
They do not welcome homosexuals
they
to
that.
Yeah,
they
don't
Gibson.
Welcome homosexuals.
They are
Willow Creek.
Terrifying.
Yeah, they don't like that.
I actually had an awful experience with Willow Creek. They came to my synagogue when I was a child
to convert.
Yes.
Really?
Well, no. I mean, like, it was supposed to be, like, two classes, you know, meeting. So it was, like, our fourth grade Hebrew school or, like, Sunday school class and theirs. And they came in, and, like, the teachers were, like, kind of cool. And then, like, their teacher left, and one of the girls was like, man, your guys' religion's okay. It's too bad you guys are all going to hell.
Oh, my
God.
Wow. Everything I've heard about Willow Creek since has been, like, very cultish, and I know people who go there and they're totally fine, so it can't be as bad as it sounds, but like ooh.
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, they all got their things. I generally enjoy big tent type religion things. I
like revivals.
I just like that everybody's included.
Willow Creek's tent is so big that there are actually buses that take you from the front
parking lot
to the church.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I had to have my high school graduation there because Willow Creek was the biggest building in our town.
But if a convention is in town, Willow Creek is probably the most likely place to
have. They have a food court.
The mall there, it's huge.
I feel like I feel like it's very difficult for a church to be cool, but there can be cool spiritual leaders within there. And that's kind of what shut me out of where I used to go was they got rid of the cool guys that I liked.
I had a super cool guy that I loved. I only had him for confirmation. His name was Father Terry, and he would come in and talk to us at like a he would talk to all the kids when they went on a retreat before they got their confirmation, and he would like sing and dance, which I liked. He had like this whole choreographed dance that he did to Piano Man and Mr. Bojangles, and then the year I was there, he premiered a new project that he was working on. It was like an interpretive dance to Spirit in the Sky. And he would jump up on a table, and he would put on a pair of gloves, and he would just do this, like, he would put his whole self into it, and he would really go balls to the wall, and, you know, just go up there and dance, and, you know, it was fun, because it was the first time, again, you know, nothing against Catholics, but it just was never fun when I was at church.
I had the same situation where, like, the church I used to go to, there's this really cool priest who used to be a New York cop, which over Joe was like, this guy's awesome. Yeah. He was just like really chill and like down to earth, whereas like every other time I've gone to a church
or I've gone to, like, when I go visit my my grandparents in Cleveland, we go to, like, a very old church where it's very rigid. It was always just very scary, actually. I mean, like, these priests would just yell at you and like, say things like, "You're gonna go to hell. You know, what have you
done?
You're gonna
go to hell!"
Like, literally, like,
I'm
as,
going
like,
to church.
As like a second grader, you're like, "I am scared to be in this room." But it's like, New York cop guy was just like, just really chill, really cool. He was also a cop, which made him cool in my book.
Cops are always chill.
Yeah.
I tried to make church and faith class more fun. When I was little, I'd like color in the little kids' coloring pages we got. And then growing up, all through like junior high and I think high school, my friend and I would always just goof off during faith class and cause mischief. We'd be like the two people just like giggling in the corner. Like, what are you two laughing at?
Would you say faith class?
Yeah, you would meet once a week in like someone's basement, or later it became like the church expanded, so the like rooms in the church. But you met with people your age like once a week.
Just
class.
Took pictures, you know, top.
So were all of us raised with some religion?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Was anybody not?
Yeah, I got two.
Wow.
Mark was so lucky.
He
got two religions.
Wait, I missed that. What'd you say, Scott?
I went to Catholic school for 9 years. I was an altar server for 4 years.
Same
yeah.
here? Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
On altar server?
Yeah. Altar server, like, you know.
Is that different than an altar boy?
No, it's
no.
the same thing. They just, you know, they allowed girls after a while, so
oh,
it became altar server.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But being an altar server was great, because if there was, like, a wedding or a funeral, you would get out of school to go do that during
that
the
was
day.
Awesome.
Yeah, I did that for Lutheran church.
It sucks when you're serving a funeral and things go wrong. Like, this one time...
It doesn't sound like that'd be a sucky
thing. Wait, but things go wrong, you mean you fucked up?
Well, not even that. It was one time I was serving a funeral, and it was my job to, like, a few minutes before they were going to put incense, you know, over the coffin, to go light the incense to get it going. And when I went over there, the lighter was out of gas.
Ugh.
So what do you do?
Right.
And I think I just improvised. I just went up and whispered to the priest what happened, and I just got his little stick and lit it, and everything was fine. But there's that 30 seconds where, like, these people are grieving, and now you're making them make it worse. But then on the other hand, I served weddings, and I would do stupid things like, you know, insult the groom because he was an older man, and I didn't understand at the time that older people can get married, too. So the priest. So I was in the little back room putting the robe on, and the priest came in with the groom, who was probably 65 or so, and said, "You know, this is the groom." And I started laughing right in his face. I was like, "Oh no, you mean that's the groom's dad, right?" And
how old are you?
11 or 10.
All right, so you're just about the age to get punched by him. It's like, it's not a kid anymore. He's a dude.
Didn't get tipped for that.
Yeah,
they tipped you?
Oh yeah, you got tipped for weddings and funerals. It was great.
Man.
You were allowed to get tipped.
The Lutheran
wow.
kids didn't
God
get shit.
It, man.
I got like cookies or something, you know.
Wow.
Where do you think they distribute all that indulgence money?
Yeah, that would be how the Jews would do it. They're tipping cookies or homemade goodies.
Oh man, so I had the best. Not he wasn't like a pastor, but I took, because I didn't go to Catholic school. I went to CCD.
Yeah.
A catechism class.
See, you CCD kids. We had our desks, right?
Yeah.
We had all of our stuff perfect in our desks, and then we'd go away for the weekend, and you fucking CCD kids would come in and steal our pencils and move our books
you
around.
You guys had good
you
pencils.
You guys are the ones going to hell.
Fuck you guys.
I know. I used to come in, and people used to leave notes, like, because I would leave a note that'd be like, you know, do not touch this or something. And then I'd get a note when I'd come back, I totally touched it, and I moved things. Man, these fucking punks.
Every time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
well,
go ahead.
No, yeah, my principal there, I don't want to use his name, but I have to because it's too perfect, and I know he'll never listen to this podcast.
Okay.
The principal of CCD was Mr. Wiseman.
Nice.
Was his name. His name was actually Mr. Wiseman.
Do you know his first name?
Very old.
I don't know his first name. Truthfully, the guy was a huge douchebag, and I hated him. Like everybody hated him. They hated Mr. Wiseman. But like, I think it's just so funny having your CCD principal. I don't know how you become, because he didn't work for the church. I don't think. I don't even know how he became the principal there. Because everything's like volunteer. Like you can just go volunteer and be a CCD teacher. You know, Stephen Colbert. He's a CCD teacher.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Stephen Colbert teaches CCD.
That's funny.
That would be awesome.
Friends' parents had taught it growing up.
Yeah.
If I had time to teach Sunday school or something like that, I'd probably think about it. I like it.
Yeah.
Our producer, Amy, is laughing at me.
If they did a Google search on you, maybe they would, I don't know.
Oh, they just find a bunch of silly pictures.
Yeah, I mean, look, even yes, I know I'm a terrible comedian. I do terrible things, but I probably know a hell of a lot more about the Lutheran faith than a lot of those other a holes.
So all that has been thrown down.
If there are any Lutheran a holes in the chat right now,
seriously, don't care.
I'm just saying, you know, like, I think I would be a wonderful.
What do you think's wrong with them? Why are they a-holes?
Not all of them are. I'm sure there just have got to be plenty that are not as good as me.
Some of them are just dicks.
Like, yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of good teachers,
like,
but
no
I'm
one
sure
let them coach a little league team
where there's room for me.
Well, yeah. I wonder what did qualify the teachers.
You volunteer, and then also I'm sure they ask you a couple of things,
yeah,
but
you
generally you're reading
you like
from a
God?
Book. And then you can share your personal feelings on things, but
so,
you don't have to. I had teachers that were very personal and would tell incredibly personal stories that would, you know, make
like
it a little uncomfortable.
The problem
like
is
what?
They're boring. If people are boring, then they're not a good CCD teacher.
Has
yeah.
anybody
true.
Here had a nun teacher for like an actual, like
no.
if you went to Catholic school?
We
do
don't
you have any sisters?
I'm scared of them.
Scott, you didn't.
Oh, no women allowed in Catholics.
No, we did have a nun in our school.
No broads allowed.
She left the year before I got there.
I had a few sisters.
Interesting fact, though. My wife's mother used to be a nun, and
really?
Left the sisterhood. Even weirder, my last girlfriend's mother used to be a nun, left the
wow.
sisterhood.
I didn't know that.
Really?
That is strange.
I think I've heard
what's
this
the correlation? You?
I knew.
Yeah, me. I
knew
women whose mothers dropped out of nun school.
I knew a girl.
That's a very specific fetish. They
yeah. have. I knew a girl in middle school and high school. Her father was a priest, and then essentially dropped out of being a priest, but became a sex book writer. No, and by sex book I mean like he would write like God, sex, and you.
Like educational books?
Yeah, and he would talk about how it's important for your marriage to have sex and the importance of that and how it's okay within religion, and here is why. And why you should love your wife and husband.
There's a divide, though, in there. There are some, like, I've heard a lot of...
Oh, he's very controversial.
Well, some priests I have heard take the position that, like, hey, when you're married, God wants you to, like, fuck like crazy. Like, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want.
Every
you
sperm
know.
Is sacred.
Yeah, yeah.
Every sperm is good.
And then there's another one, another one taking the method I've heard a lot that are just like, you know, no, it's, you know, missionary position. When you want to have children, so you can do it
like
nine
that?
Times in your life.
Is religion still like that today? Only one
some
of
places are.
Some places you just don't talk about.
Some religions things. Got really sexy in the past, like 20 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, religion is not
up,
sexy
man.
Enough.
Sign
did they ever
up.
Talk about masturbation in any of your Sunday school classes?
No way.
Like
no, I never got the masturbation.
I got to talk once because a kid masturbated in class.
That's
what?
Wait. Wait, like in class while you're all there, the dude.
Well,
just
no,
jerking?
He was. I was in seventh grade. This is one of those stories.
Christ, buckle up.
That there was this kid in eighth grade, and we were in seventh grade. And we heard about that, and we heard that someone heard the teachers talking in like their faculty about it, and then they like the teachers just told us a completely different story. Their story was like, this kid was like rubbing on his crotch and looking at a girl sitting next to him. When we heard the teachers and the faculty talking about it, they were like, yeah, I can't believe he actually got it out. Like, he was, like, masturbating to the girl
what?
Next to him. And apparently...
Oh. What does he think
nobody
this is?
Noticed?
A CTA train?
Hey!
Yeah.
I have never seen dick on a CTA train.
I hear stories.
I have.
What?
Yeah. It turns out that he, like, finished on... And then he put it on the desk.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh.
He was expelled immediately, and we all got to talk, because no one knew what the actual story was. Like, then when we heard it, They just started like yelling at us for no reason. We're like, what are you talking about? The teachers. Like, it's like we had a powwow about it. It's like, why you should never do this, why you should never touch yourself, why it's wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God, they really told you this?
Yeah, and I was like, what are you talking about? Why are you talking to me about this?
Why are you telling us this? Yeah. We didn't do anything.
That took out our dicks.
Yeah.
I never really was drilled or, like, learned, you know, like, you shouldn't have sex before marriage and all these things. Just kind of things that you hear from, like, other classmates, other people, I feel like. We never were told all these, like, strict...
No, I think that is... I don't think it's, like, a
in
formal
CCD,
thing.
Yeah,
CCD?
Yeah, or the church or anything. Like,
no, yeah,
I just kind of hear through the grapevine.
I think they might also try to, you know, it's a lot more, like, they talk about that stuff to, like, parents. Be like, you shouldn't have your kids can't be doing this because...
The only time I ever heard about it was at a camp. I don't know if you guys, for confirmation, for Lutherans, confirmation is the bigger deal than communion.
Okay.
Communion's big in Catholic. It's like reverse.
Yeah.
So like confirmation, for those of you that aren't even Christian, confirmation is where you are an adult in the church and you confirm your faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit and God and yeah yeah yeah.
I had that at synagogue too.
Yeah, and so a lot of people have different things of confirmation. So anyway, for confirmation, in order to get confirmed. Part of our requirement in our church was you had to go to a camp, like a Lutheran camp, for like a week.
Oh. Whoa. Was it a fun camp?
Yeah, it was fun. Like, we played, it was like regular summer camp, except for like, you go to church each day, and you'd sing Jesus songs and whatever. But you'd play Capture the Flag, you'd do arts and crafts and all that shit. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I really loved it. I went 2 years. But, there was one counselor, like the church never really addressed it, which was crazy. Like I never heard anything in any pastor's sermons. There was one pastor that did a sermon that said, like, don't have sex before marriage, you know, keep your heart pure and whatever, save yourself for whatever. And I was like, whatever. And it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Nick, did you audibly say oops?
Maybe.
Okay. it was ridiculous. And the dude, yeah, it was just like, okay, cool, whatever. You thanks, buddy.
But it's so weird. Yeah, it's so weird for people in a church, or even people in a school. It's like, it's a weird thing for adults to talk to kids about sex. So it's like, you're at summer camp, it's like, don't. You know, I don't know. It's always uncomfortable whenever that comes up. There's like,
they
no
get us away from the parents so they can seclude us and say, all right, now you can't touch yourselves. There was a kid that talked about how he had gay thoughts and felt terrible.
Who did that? Who
what?
Said this? What?
My counselor, the dude that slept in our room. I forget his name. He was like Matt or something. And he was like, I had gay thoughts for a while. And
oh
now
God.
Through Christ, I don't have that.
What?
And like, we
sure,
didn't
yeah.
ask him to tell us these things, but he would like tell us.
That's scary.
And it's like, you
all
sleep
gay
in the bunk
people
with this
molest
dude.
Children. It's true.
It's a fact.
And it was like, well, it was like, dude, what? I don't want to deal with your.
You're oppressed, like, yeah, like sense of.
It's just so weird. And
I imagine
so
you're just in bed trying to sleep.
Really is what
hey,
it is.
Brian.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Hey, Brian, wake up. Brian.
I'm glad there was no
what? I have gay thoughts sometimes. Just want to let you know.
that's what it's like.
All right, good night.
That's what it's like. And so you're sitting around.
I don't have an opinion. It's just really annoying.
And you're sitting around and you have to deal with this now. And I've never experienced, like, sitting in a room full of repressed people.
How old were you?
I was, like, I was 17.
All right, Brian.
So I was old enough to, like, know what was up.
No, Brian, like, Catholics are, like, always marked by their guilt. They're big on the guilt.
Yeah.
And
so
I went to Lutheran. Yes, and the Jews. And I went to Lutheran because I played in school. I got to play a couple of things at this Lutheran church. And they had, like, a rock band. Like, they had, like,
a
drum set.
It's pretty
and
rad
I'm like,
deal.
Oh, this is...
I like
is it,
Lutheran stuff.
Is there
it's
a
good.
Lot of guilt in the... Is Lutheran less guilt than the Catholic?
Probably.
There's a lot of guilt.
Dude, Methodist
Catholic is, like, hardcore guilt.
Catholic's
whatever,
a lot of guilt every time you go
to church. Yeah, there's probably less guilt. Because also, the big thing with the Lutheranism is... there's no confession because you have a direct connection to God.
Oh,
so and also they're really big on Ephesians 2:12, which is For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's like, it's not of what you do, it is your faith in God. Mm-hmm. So you can essentially, in Lutheranism, you can essentially, if you believe hard in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and your faith is so strong, you can kind of fuck up a little bit and have some bad deeds. It's
Lutherans and Methodists are similar.
But there's also, it's also like there's Orthodox.
Yeah.
There's people that are more hardcore in Lutheranism that are more closer to Catholicism.
Yeah. There's other Methodists.
Are there hardcore Methodists too?
Yeah,
right?
They're like, you know, the Wesleyan is Methodist. It's all connected, and there's ranging levels, but it's the same. But my church in Tennessee, because I have a different experience of church. I had Southern church. You all have Catholicism. And also, I didn't meet a Jew.
Didn't have Catholicism in the South?
I didn't meet a Jew till I was 17.
They don't have Catholics around there?
Where's Catholics?
Not in Carthage. No, it's different. That's why I'm going to tell you about it. It's way different. So my church was like the most, I guess, liberal thinking. None of them are. But in that, it's just, it's more normal. Like, you can screw up, pray, be nice. Everyone's invited to communion, all that stuff. But there are churches in Carthage, Tennessee, that they still say you can't dance. Like, you can't go to dances.
What?
Dancing is a sin. Wow. Also, ladies, sorry, only dresses. Only skirts, only dresses.
Wow.
No pants for you. And
I knew a fellow that went to a college where dancing was prohibited.
Yeah.
It was one of those religious.
There's
colleges.
Also churches that won't play instrumental music in the
what?
Church.
Well, that's
why?
Just a good idea.
You can only
smart.
You can only sing a cappella.
Like
why?
they make it a point not to ever have
instruments are bad.
Why?
They're
what justification?
Because the devil rock and rolls, man.
You could have a bunch of flutes. You know? What the hell is wrong with that?
Sorry, man. It's the same people. And that, I mean, the acapella church is also the skirt church. Is also
he's
the no dancing church.
That's intense.
Yeah. So, and these kids go to the same school I go to because there's only one school in town.
So you would know, like, ahead of time, like, oh, Betty's not going to be at the dance because she can't.
Yeah, they just don't, they're not allowed. They can't go to the dance. Sometimes you'd see them there and be like, whatever, thank God. I'd be happy they're there because I want to hang out and dance with more of my friends.
And you went to a public school, right?
Yeah.
So these kids.
Carthage doesn't have a private school.
I don't know. Well, we have Catholic schools
guys,
here.
When I talk about Carthage, I'm talking a town that is 1 mile by 1 mile.
Whoa.
And then that's the big town, and everything else like is small, more villages than
tribes,
not quite tribes,
not quite tribes,
you but like village people.
Yeah, no, there's these villages and there's these small elementary schools, but there's only two high schools in the county. There was Gordonsville and there was a high school and Smith County High School. Suck it, Gordonsville. Carthage gets the name of the county.
Boom.
But there are all these little feeder, they're called like these little feeder elementary schools, and they're just the ones that are out by in the riverland. The places that have to close if it even hints at a snow, because there aren't paved roads in some places still. It's like mud. So if it's cold enough for water to freeze, mud is ice. It's not like a road flooding. And so school gets out like that, which rules for snow days. But so there's different conventions and less people. There's these smaller churches that are further away, and they're like super crazy strict. But what is cool is I did get to go, because I played French horn and played in a brass quintet, I got to go out and play for Les McDonald's church. Now, Les was an African-American trumpet player who went to a black church, a small like black church, like probably the only one in Smith County, because not a lot of blacks there. It's just really small. There's no Jews at all. Sorry. And,
sorry, Lauren.
Lauren.
But I got to go, and it was so much fun. And they were so happy to hear us play. We played Just a Closer Walk with Thee, which was awesome. Played it all sad at the beginning, and then you played it all joyous in the second half. And we did all sorts of fun music. They really liked it. But the service was 3 hours.
What?
It was 3 hours of
Just churching?
But it's party churching. It's just standing up and singing the whole time, and people dancing, and they listen to us play, and then But it, I mean, it was, it felt like being in a movie of a black church. It was ridiculous.
As anyone else here, like, I've always wanted to go to a black church. I'm not religious at all. I would love to go to a black church. It just seems like they have so much fun at church. Seems like they genuinely enjoy.
Isn't the one behind our house, the one that meets at the school behind our house, is a black church? You can go. You want to stay over some Saturday night, you can walk over.
Yeah, like, our one of our friends from college, LaRoy Hawkins...
Rolls Royce?
Yeah, Rolls Royce. The guy is absolutely hilarious and, very successful guy, very funny. And, like, you know, he goes to church all the time. I'm like, man, he must have a blast there. Like, because it's really a strong community there. And, like, that's why, like, through history, black churches have been, like, through the civil rights movement and stuff, they were just, you know, they're very close-knit.
Yeah, it's a totally different vibe. But I'm really personal about my religion. I keep to myself. I'm so personal, I don't really go to church. If I have feelings of Bible stuff, I'll go and open up.
Yeah, I like sleeping in on Sundays, too.
It's just not my thing, and I get frustrated with being a part of a church. Whereas everyone I know that is black fucking loves church.
Yeah.
They love church.
We should make a party church. We would all go. Like,
busy. I don't really do it.
I don't. Nobody wants. None of our friends want to party at 9 a.m.
That's what we're doing. That is what we're doing this weekend. Yeah. This weekend we're doing exactly that. Yes. If you're listening,
very true.
Go out to the church prob show.
It won't be at 9 in the morning.
It's going to be Sunday at 7.
Where church ought to be.
And we have been working. Earlier today we were working on the songs, and it is going to be a dancey, have a good time show. Like, it's gonna be a blast.
It's a have a good time show.
Well, yeah, have a good time show.
Thank God we've had so many of those bummer shows.
Yeah, that Mark's lying. For those of you listening,
wow,
Mark's a liar.
I went to like a rock and roll church one time.
Wait, what? Like,
my church had a rock and roll service. That was like the third service.
Yeah,
had, like, the option. This was all rock and roll?
Well, it was, because I had always been, like, church in my experience was, like, a lot of, like, older people, and there was, like, big rooms, because I was, like, Catholic churches. I went to Holy Family sometimes with my dad, and then sometimes with my grandma I'd go, but I dated a girl who was very religious, and she, when we were in college, she wanted me to go to church with her one time, because she was actually not that religious when I started dating her, and she got progressively more religious.
She just toned herself down a little bit when she first met you, I think.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
I'm glad she started to open up enough that she could finally break up with me because I wasn't Christian.
I don't want this job.
I'm really Christian.
Wait.
No, there were lots of other reasons, too.
Okay.
But that was definitely one of them. Because she was just getting back into it, you know? And it was something that meant a lot to her, and it was something that I was never going to really be that big of a part of. But so she went to, when she was looking for churches, when she started getting back into it, she went to, like, one that was all young people. Like, the oldest person I saw there had to be, like, 32, and it was the guy who, like, started it. And you get there, it gave you donuts. The service was, like, an hour long, and it was just a rock band playing songs. They projected the lyrics on a thing, and then there was, like, a 5 to 10 minute speech that was, like, took a passage, said, like, this is the passage I'm inspired by, and then made a whole, like, a... you know, his take out of it in a modern world kind of thing. And then just more rock and roll music played live. But it was, you know, like, it was all these, like, hymns or traditional songs that were, like, made into rock songs. And I, you know, like, it wasn't, I'm not Christian, so it wasn't, like, a spiritual experience. But it was, or I shouldn't say, it wasn't a religious experience. But it was a really cool spiritual experience. Because I was in a room with just, like, all these people who, in my mind, like, religion was for old people, like, for a very long time, or, like, very serious religion was for old people.
Yeah.
And it was cool to be in a room with just, like, 300 people that, like, fucking loved one thing, and they were, like, just singing their hearts out, and they would have, like, the hand up and everything.
Christian people feel like if they put their hand up, they're basically showing they love God more.
No, they're waiting for Jesus to high five.
Yeah.
Bow.
And like what? And whatever it was, like, you know, I don't know their motivation or whatever, but it was like, it was very interesting to be in a room with that many people who loved and were just like expressing about one thing so hard.
It also helps that a lot of these the churches themselves are just traditionally very very large and echoey. Like when I was because I've been like I had one church in my life in the beginning of when I went to church, but then I went to Europe and they have like St. Paul's Cathedral, which is fucking enormous. It's like you walk in and it's like, oh, this is where God lives. This fucking right. lives here.
My first guitar effects pedal had like 4 reverb settings. It was like small room, medium room, large room, church.
Yeah, my old piano had a church setting.
My current iMovie has that cathedral setting.
Okay, here's the weirdest job I've ever had in my life. I briefly helped, I was a pipe organ tuner. I would go, my uncle has a pipe organ business. He builds them and he goes places, he tunes them, he repairs them. You know, he does all that stuff. And there was a winter break, I think I was like a sophomore in college and I needed money. So when I came home, it was like Christmas time was like where he was in demand. Everyone wanted their pipe organs tuned for the new year and for Christmas. So I would go around with them. So I would get to go to all these empty churches all the time. Just it's so weird just being at a church when there's just no one there and just, you know, tuning pipe organs all day.
It's creepy, but cool.
It's
creepy.
Some places like, were...
If you're anywhere, just like a big place alone, although the creepiest place would have to be American Girl.
I thought it was cool. They've always got cool stained glass.
What was
American Girl doll store?
Yeah, because they're alone when it was like dark and oh my god, that'd be the creepiest thing in the world.
What are you talking about?
Do you think about this often?
Yes.
This sounds like 1 minute of Cloud and Lauren get to talk without us talking.
Yeah. I actually used to be really creeped out of porcelain dolls.
See,
my grandma would buy them like all the time. They had them on my shelf, and at night I would think they would like
come alive.
Like,
yeah,
I would be so freaked out by the dolls. Like as much as I had to hide them.
Well, have you ever gone to the American Girl doll store? Well, they have a freaking like yes, and they have like we're a place where you can like eat with your dolls. There's like a barber. There's a doll hospital.
Dude, I was so
and, like,
sad.
The entire room is filled with dolls. That would be the creepiest thing.
I never got an American Doll. I wanted the Kirsten Doll so bad.
Oh,
I
wanted the Kirsten Doll and the Samantha.
You guys never got it for me.
I know. Same boat.
I never got one either.
My friend Megan got one, and I was really jealous.
Oh, I know. Like everyone liked the Samantha dolls.
Yeah.
Stuff. I had a doll I got at a garage sale. It's cool.
But it was no American.
It was
girl,
no American. It was like a dollar.
Stretch, ladies, stretch.
Oh, we're stretching? Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
So, anyways, I just was thinking of, like, if you were to close up anywhere, where would be the creepiest place to close up? It would be the American Girl doll store. Can you imagine being the last person in there?
Unfortunately, we won't be able to hear the answer to that question.
Oh,
that
man.
Was 1 minute of Cloud and Lauren getting talking.
And it didn't turn on Lauren. I was so surprised.
I'm loving this segment.
I have a confession to make,
so
guys.
Wait,
that it's to do with religion.
Oh, what?
All
right. I was a secret Jew for a while.
What
does that mean?
That's not a question.
That isn't a question at all.
It's an admittal.
No, confessions.
Oh.
How are you a secret Jew?
Because growing up, I was the only Jew in Mokina, which is like...
And I
really?
Spied on people.
You were the... You were really...
I was a secret
like
Jew.
You were really the only
in
Jew?
In my class for a long time. Then this other guy, David, came in junior high.
At Mokina
but, like,
school.
Took something to eat off of me for being a Jew.
Yeah,
David
he did, especially when he had his bar mitzvah, and I didn't get bar mitzvah, so I was like, yeah, I'm not as Jewy as he is. So.
You turned out. You turned out the only
your
only
Jew.
Friend.
Well,
wow,
it's like Peter.
Oh boy!
Wow.
Hey, check out the new guy. Sure is pretty Jewy, huh? Is that guy Jewy?
Man, if I
Lauren's
knew like a less Jewy Jew, that'd be like okay, right?
Kind of Jewy. That
well,
guy's Jew.
Knew that I was Jewish because my last name is not.
But when you
Jewish.
Say that, not as Jewy as that guy. I had to give you away. So like, would you have to hide it? Like, they'd be like, Lauren, I see you've got a nice pastrami on rye there. Interesting.
I'm not a Jew.
But they would always like, you know.
So
like,
your parents are Hollywood screenwriters,
church.
Lauren, eh?
I
mean, I feel the need to haggle right now, but that guy feels the need to haggle.
Lauren, milk is a quarter. You don't have to bite it to make sure it's real.
I mean, I want to do it, but that guy.
But it was like a big thing when everybody found out, because the town that I grew up in was very small. It was very Christian and Catholic.
How did they find out? Did a yarmulke fall out of your locker?
Lauren keeps sending her soup back and complaining.
Soup's not right.
When was this? How old were you when you
actually
out?
I mean, like, it really Secret. Didn't get out until like high school. That was a big time. And my friend Mike Tatelli asked me straight out, and he was like, Lauren, are you a Jew?
Were you, like, get you in the corner, like, by the
what,
janitor's
did he catch
class,
you, like throwing Stars of David around the room or something?
No, he just knew my family and, like, knew, I don't know, somehow.
Was it, like, an interrogation to him to get the information out of you?
I imagine it just took place during the first day of class attendance. Where you're just like, Imani, Lauren... Here, Jewish. Out!
Oh no! No, but I did one time where I started David a necklace that my grandma got for me, and I, you know, felt obligated to wear it. And, like, I think I hid it, like, on, you know, like, I think.
What's the Brendan Fraser movie where he's a Jew? Where he's Jewish? Brendan Fraser Jewish?
Oh, it's a.
But like
time.
Then like yeah, people school would like ask what it was about, or like, you know, what church do you go to, and. I was horrible at lying. So
that's a weird looking cross. That star.
Yeah, so it was interesting. But then I, like, embraced it and, you know, came out to Jesus.
Have any of you guys ever spoken at church, like, in the service?
Oh, yeah. Like in tongues?
No, I mean, like,
it's a valid question.
Like,
what we're talking about, the
reading.
I have
anything.
So the reading, yeah. Like, what did
I
you
also
guys,
want
what
to
did
know
you
if anyone spoke
going
tongues
to Catholic school? I read a lot in church. I sang in church. Yeah. Weirdest thing I ever had to do. So I was unluckily chosen to be one of the kids that got brought up onto the altar.
Yeah.
And had their feet washed by the priest.
Whoa!
It was creepy as hell. Because there's that story where
Jesus washed my
feet
washed.
Feet.
It wasn't that bad.
In front of a whole bunch of people when you don't want to do it, your feet really
I mean, I didn't... Why didn't you want to do it? You have clean feet.
I don't know. This priest is washing my feet. Like,
yeah, so
you're not Jesus.
It certainly was weird, but everyone else had to sit and watch me get it done.
Yeah.
So who had the one up on that? Me.
Mr. Clean Feet over here.
Like, look at me.
Oh, damn. Look at Brian with his clean feet.
All you so jokers jealous. Are watching me getting clean feet right now.
I remember my friend belonged to an evangelical free church.
What's
where
that?
There's really
no evangelicals,
really,
please.
They're very, very hardcore about their beliefs. And I would go to her, it's called Jam on Wednesdays. I don't know
what I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do that. But I remember going to, like, a mass with her, and they did baptisms, I guess, for people, like, our age or in
full immersion?
Yeah, it was like, there was an inflatable
pool.
There's some kind of pool.
Let me just say,
people, like,
about the full immersion baptisms in pools in the church, ew.
No, right?
Yeah, they do it. They do it.
Oh,
like,
I know.
These girls got, like, their swimsuits, and I was like, this is so bizarre.
Cloud did a,
like,
great tilting of her own head at that.
Like,
I wish you could have seen it.
That's how bizarre it was.
Is, like, it's almost like Jesus camp level, looking back, is, like, so intense.
I didn't have any of that weird stuff, but I did, the reason why I brought it up, that the talking and doing stuff in the church is I actually gave a sermon.
Are you kidding?
I gave a sermon when I was like 15.
What's
I gave
about?
The sermon.
On what?
I think it was about that camp. I'm pretty sure. And I was just talking
and
about
tennis and a high ropes course and
how I and
Ryan.
I discovered
Ryan.
My relationship with God.
Ryan. Right, Brian. Brian. And sometimes I think of sin. I just touch myself.
Look, I'm Lutheran. There's no confession.
All right,
no,
see you later, bro.
That's the counselor who sneaks up on you and tells you really personal things.
Wakes him up.
I just love that. Oh, I wanted only to beat only to Brian.
Wait, Brian, don't get in that canoe.
Hey, counselor.
Brian, I ate all the gushes.
He should just get a Twitter and tweet Brian.
Yeah. No, I know I blamed you, but I ate.
I didn't talk about him in the sermon. I tried to not talk about the repression I was surrounded by. But I did talk about this. I think my sermon was about my perception on what your relationship with God is, and I think it was like God is like your grandpa, in that you know, you don't need to talk to him constantly about everything all the time, but it's good to give him a call at least once a week and let him know what's up, how you're doing, and what you think about or whatever, and to ask him for guidance or whatever, and then God cares for you as a grandpa would, because he has other grandchildren, but you know, he cares for you a lot because you're his grandchild, and I believe that was like the major point of my sermon, which was weird to give, but yeah, it was like five, 10 minute monologue.
Shoot.
I guess I may have had an opposite experience because I once committed heresy on the bus.
What?
What?
Wait, what?
I was on the bus and someone told me that Holy Family had purchased, like, for the back of their church, like a crystal cross with like a Jesus figure on it, and it cost $4.3 million. And I don't know if that's the actual price of it, but like, having seen it later, I'm sure it was extremely expensive. And I said, too loudly for my own good, $4.3 million, they could have resurrected Jesus for that much money.
That was awesome.
That's pretty funny, though.
And the teacher on that bus for that field trip was very...
Stop the bus!
Wait, how much money was it?
$4.3 million is what I was told. It was probably like one or two, though. But
of course, the Jewish kid thinking about the money, about how much, knows exactly how much it costs to resurrect Jesus.
There is a fair amount of opulence in Christianity, though.
And that's what that always, like...
Catholicism's got a lot. Yeah, I mean, you go to the Vatican. That's
I feel like
it's
I feel like
so much is stolen
that maybe the actual reason, like Catholicism, like Catholic Church, you have to go talk to somebody, and at Methodist Church you don't. Is ain't Methodist Church don't have any money to pay anybody for you to talk to, so just talk in your brain and close your eyes, and he hears you, whatever. And, great, like that's what it is.
People, oh, your religion
thinking
should
words with their eyes closed.
They should go on more
that
crusades.
A higher power hears you.
That's how you get lots of money.
Mark, it's funny you mentioned that a lot of it is stolen. The pastor at the church that I went to school to and that my parents still go to every weekend, in the past 2 years or so, he stole $300,000 from the church.
Whoa.
For gambling.
To pay back his gambling debts?
He was just going to the boat and gambling
away.
Wow.
He was trying to win a crystal cross. Jackass.
So
you took
right
from the offering?
Wow.
He did is, he set up an account for himself that only he had access to, as like the church's private
the
account.
God money.
Yeah, this is God's money. And then just withdraw and go to the boat. And then he got
some more money.
Hey. What qualifications does one have to become a priest? Is it just
go
like
to
school?
A
degree.
How long is school? And there's like a bunch of preschools?
A lot of times you get like a doctorate.
School of Theology.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so then
not,
you just apply.
Not all of them are doctors, but
no.
Some are. I had one pastor that was a doctor... I had two that were doctors and one that wasn't.
One thing I always liked about Judaism was that a rabbinical degree is considered a legal degree.
Wow.
Like if you're a rabbi, you skip a bunch of law school classes. I'm not entirely sure why that is, other than that most of the job of being a rabbi is reading and interpreting laws. But
since they have a law degree, technically, if I'm in trouble, could I hire a rabbi as my lawyer?
Yes.
That would be really
if they pass the bar, yes.
Mine does.
Well, and then rabbis can...
perform magical tricks, right?
Well, yeah, they can do that too, but they can marry, but not... Well, can priests marry? Which is...
Priests can...
Oh, yeah.
Who can't
priest,
marry?
Wait, okay, get married?
Like, no, I mean, like, yeah, get married.
Deacons can get married.
Deacons can, yeah.
Some, what are they called? Priests cannot.
Preachers can.
So
preachers,
priest
that's
has,
the word I was looking
for. What's a deacon? I don't even know what a deacon is.
Deacon Frost.
A deacon is just like a guy that kind of wants to be a priest but isn't.
And he comes
and
he's
like
to
a
church every once in a while.
Yeah,
like
he'll
do a sermon.
Like he'll read the gospel and he'll do a sermon every once in a blue.
In Lutheranism, their equivalent to a deacon is called a minister. And the pastor is the
uh-huh.
one that runs the show.
Yeah.
I had a kick-ass deacon. I had Deacon Bryce. And the guy was... And, like, I remember he would come in...
Bryce!
Every once in a while, he would come in. He would be really funny. And he would just be really, like... Because, like, so many people were so boring at the church. He was, like, so, like, lively when he was talking. And, like, he would come in every once in a while. And I just assumed that was because deacons are incredibly important or something. I'm like, he's so good, we only get him, like, once in a while, because a deacon must be a huge deal, like a bishop or something. But no, it's just some guy.
It's like,
that
he's like the sidekick. He's like the sidekick, yeah.
Yeah, it's a comic relief.
Oh, man, but I just had a badass deacon, though, I guess.
LP, you went to Catholic school, too?
Oh, yeah.
For how long?
Preschool through my sophomore year of high school.
Okay, did the bishop ever come to your school?
Yeah, once.
Did he always give you a day off?
What?
Did he always give you a day off?
No.
Really? See, every time the bishop would come to my school, everyone loved it, because the following Wednesday, we would get off from school as, like, the bishop came to our church, now we don't have to go to school day.
No, I never got that.
I
love
that
day.
That's a great
awesome.
Way
it's
to make
long.
You love the bishop.
It was great.
Yeah.
See, yeah, in the Lutheran thing, we don't have anybody that's, like, a celebrity. You don't have, like,
right.
You don't have a cool Lutheran pastor that comes by. It's just another dude. Yeah.
So, dude,
nobody's special.
One thing that I always thought was a little sad about Judaism is there wasn't, at least in my experience, there wasn't like a big hierarchy, you know. So you never knew, there was no like global connection. Like, oh well, we all have the same archbishop, I guess.
Yeah.
But we did have the cantor, who's like the guy that sings all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't appreciate it at all at the time. We just had like a rock star cantor. He was awesome. And I just always thought, like, all cantors were that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he disappeared one day because some giant synagogue in New York gave him, like, this massive contract to be their cantor. And he ended up singing for, like, you know, 1,000 people instead of a few hundred.
Yeah.
He was so good.
I sang in a church choir. Did anybody else sing in choirs at church?
Then our really cool leader left, so then I was like, oh, I want to do something else.
It was really weird for me because I was the only person near my age. I went with my dad because he was doing it, and I was like, I guess I'll go, why not? But it was all older people, so I was very young and doing it, so that was always weird. And singing in Sunday services is being like the only 16-year-old. Everyone else is like 40-something or older.
Ours was like a pack of kids. It's just like the thing to do when you were a kid. It's like a massive children's choir.
Oh, yeah, we had a children's choir that sang like once every 4 Sundays, but that's just because it was something we could do after school where our parents didn't have to watch us. Parents, I realize now, there's all these programs for kids to go to because they can't watch you that much of their day. They have to work, so they have to give you odd activities that as a kid you think is an awesome, fun thing to go do, but it's really just advanced babysitting.
Yeah.
That's all children's choir is. You rehearse three every Wednesday because... that's where you are on Wednesday afternoons.
Wow. I remember one really weird thing that stuck out in my head from Sunday school, and this is a callback, I guess, from a while ago in the beginning of the podcast when you were talking about like Sunday school or church classes teaching different things, like. Not always about
masturbation.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, put in own personal feelings and stuff. And one time, I don't know, we were learning about, like, leaders. And, yeah, I think we were just... we somehow got on the topic of presidents. And they said that that what would be the order of the first, like, presidents? Like, would it be an African-American first president? Would it be a Jewish first president? Or would it be a woman first president? I'm like, what would be the order that it would happen in history? And I what we voted and what the teacher told us was that it would first be an African-American, then it'd be woman, and then it would be Jewish. And I always kind of was like, oh, is this kind of, I don't
that
know.
That sounds
is
wrong.
Is this at when you're a spy Jew?
Are you secret Jew? Yeah, I was secret.
So no one knows you're a Jew, right? So
no.
Just a bunch of Gentiles talking to each other.
Well, I was a Jew there.
But you were snuck in.
But it's interesting. I don't know. But it's kind of funny because we got the African American, and we're pretty close with possibly Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, Chicago is Jew mayor now.
Yeah, so
Rahm Emanuel's Jewish. That's cool.
Chicago is a Jew
city. And that wasn't even a thing. Like, nobody even really talked about it. It was more of a big deal that he was Rahm Emanuel and not the fact that he's Jewish.
Yeah.
You know,
Rahm Emanuel is Jewish.
Vote for Steinman.
I just find it funny seeing different religious figures like priests and whatnot, nuns like out on the town, like
participating in some sort of joke, walking into bars together,
like Sister Act.
And in Caddyshack, there's this priest that loves to go golfing. And he ends up having this wonderful game until he curses the Lord because he doesn't end up having the game that he wants, and then he gets struck by lightning. And I think the only way he could ever benefit is if he had some of Cloud's golf
tips.
Perfect.
Make tiny, tiny stickers with a picture of your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend on them. Keep these in your pocket. Then, when you're about to hit your ball, take a little sticker and put it on your golf ball. That way you can channel anger into your hit.
Ooh.
This has been Cloud's Golf Tips.
Go fish.
Points.
Once again, I'd like to remind everybody that today's podcast was brought to you by Uncle Fun on 1338 West Belmont. If you would ever like to create your own personal Pee-wee's Playhouse, Uncle Fun is the place to do it. They have tons of cool things you can buy, and it barely costs you any money. Uncle Fun is right down Belmont near Southport, right down the street from where Activarius does our shows.
Hey, yeah.
So, in Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago.
So for all you Ohio friends, maybe next time you're in Chicago, you can stop by there.
Everyone will think you're cool. It's like a hidden gem.
What up, Ohio?
Sick.
What up, all other states?
What up,
what up, everyone else who's listening to us? I hope they're listening to us in Vatican City right now, being like, "That Octavarius said we're boring."
I'll get them someday.
They're up at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah,
that's
sweet. I wish we could talk about it.
Vatican is mind-blowing.
I'm looking at the time, and it looks like we're just about out of time for this podcast. But we probably have just enough time for Nick McCoola's
Seven Words of Wisdom. Do you know what the Ark is?
This has been Nick McCoola's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Wow. Nick, I didn't know you were here.
He's been
like
deathly
he's
ill.
Been sick, I've been deathly ill.
It's true. He
We've talked a few times.
The past 7 days.
It looks like we're just about at the end of the hour, so that's going to do it for us.
Thanks to everyone that came to our shows. And
please
come to the church
for shows.
Yeah.
So much fun.
What a wonderful 4th of July show. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, I forgot to mention, at the Church Prop show, there will be puppets. Just saying, improv
just saying.
And puppetry, that's a lot of good stuff for $7.
Yeah, so check it out.
Also,
original songs.
Some videos will be going up on Octavarius.com of the show, as well as some sketches we've been working on this week, so check back to Octavarius.com.
And with that, we're going to leave you for now. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye. Brian. Brian, I wore your shirt to a barbecue.
I just want to sleep.
I didn't wash it. It smells like sweat, Brian. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Brian.